A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone. Be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, baptizing with the Holy Spirit and with fire and throwing the chaff to be burned in an unquenchable fire doesn't sound like good news, especially if you're chaff. And I'm afraid some of us might be chaff. And this is Gaudete Sunday, which Gaudete means rejoice in Latin. And in many places they wear rose-colored vestments as a way of rejoicing, but we don't have any rose-colored vestments. So don't go buy me one, because I hate, it's like pink, you know. Over at Sacred Heart, I always wind up doing this Sunday over there, and they got like 10 pink-colored vestments. No thanks. But we're supposed to be rejoicing at this point in Advent. We're supposed to be doing penance the rest of Advent, but this is the one Sunday we light the rose-colored candle, the third Sunday of Advent. And the themes of the first two readings, anyway, and the responsorial psalm is all about rejoicing. And frankly, I was having a hard time rejoicing because just yesterday I lost my wallet. And if you have ever lost your wallet, you know what an anxiety-inducing experience that is. But I did remember I filled up with gas just before I got home. So I went over to the gas station. They looked at me. "No way. We don't have it." And I'm thinking to myself, remember, they wouldn't tell me anyway. And then I start racking my brain. Where did I go? I got home. Went straight home. It's got to be in the house. Maybe it fell out. Maybe it's here. In the middle of the night, it was 10 degrees. I'm out there with a flashlight looking around outside my car. You know. Then I couldn't sleep all night long. I'm thinking, yeah, there was some money in there, but there were like an unknown number of credit cards in there. I didn't even know what credit cards were in there. I didn't even know what credit cards I have, which means you have too many. And I'm up all night and down all night thinking, all right, in the morning, we'll have to see, you know, start figuring out who to call. This is not good. Anxiety. No rejoicing. Last night I mentioned to one of the guys here, yeah, I lost my wallet. He goes, "Pray to St. Anthony." I said, "Oh, yeah, pray to St. Anthony." You know how St. Anthony got to be the guy that finds things, keys and wallets and cell phones? Well, he was from Portugal, and he was a Franciscan, and he was going to Africa to be a missionary. And his ship from Portugal to Africa got blown off course in a storm, and he wound up in Italy. And they got off the boat. Now, that's pretty far away, right, to wind up in Italy. And they got off, and they were somewhere near Naples. And, of course, St. Francis, whom he had never met, was up there in Assisi. So they decided before going to Africa, they should go up and meet the founder of the Franciscans, St. Francis. So they made their way up to Assisi. And when he got to Assisi, St. Francis met him, and said, Saint Anthony. Well, they weren't saints at the time. They just probably said, Anthony. No. He found out that he was very talented as a preacher, and he put him in charge of the formation of all the Franciscan brothers and priests. And so he wound up staying there in Italy. He never made it to Africa. So somebody figured out along the way that he was a lost soul, so he must be good at finding things. So that's how that tradition got started. Anyway, it works, because here's my wallet. No? It was in the bathroom under the toilet. No? Who knows? But anxiety, you got your own, right? You don't have to lose your wallet to be walking around worried and anxious all the time about so many things. No, we got World War III starting. There was an article in the paper. Has World War III already started? Maybe it has. We haven't realized it yet. All these drones attacking everywhere, no? They're all over the country. Now you're going outside at night looking to see if there's drones flying over your house. I don't know what you're going to do about it, but nobody's paying attention in the government. And we worry about so many things. We're anxious about finances, about our health, about our family straying from the truth. And yet, the readings are telling us, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Have no anxiety at all, St. Paul says, but in everything, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Whew. It makes it sound like it's easy. No? I think we're a little skeptical. And even this prophet Zephaniah, most of his book of prophecies were pretty negative. Because remember, he wrote about the time when Jerusalem was going to fall to the Babylonians. So he was pretty dark and pessimistic, but this chapter 3, he says, shout for joy, daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart. The Lord has removed the judgment against you and has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. Do not be discouraged. The Lord is in your midst as a mighty Savior. So we're exhorted all the time to rejoice, not to be anxious, not to worry. And it reminded me of the first words of Jesus after he rose and he came to the apostles. What does he say? Peace be with you. Now, they've been through the most traumatic series of events and happenings the last few days since Good Friday. Holy Thursday, seeing Jesus tortured and killed, and everything they believed in seemed to go down the tubes. At Christmas, we're reminded over and over again that the Prince of Peace has come, and we sing hymns like Holy Night. Oh. So what's the key to this peace of soul? Even John's preaching here seems like it's fire and brimstone. Right? His winnowing wing vanishes in his hand to clear the threshing floor, and the chaff will burn with unquenchable fire. Well, I think there's two things here in John's gospel that give us maybe a path forward away from anxiety and fear. First is, look, all these groups of people are coming to John to be baptized in the Jordan, right? They've come a long distance. They've come from Jerusalem and the entire area, and they've gone out to the desert. Now, that's not just like a little drive to the Adirondacks. No, they were walking through the desert to get to the Jordan River where John was baptizing. They came a long way, and they were serious about finding a way to salvation. And they are all asking him, what must we do? And John is telling them that they have to change their behavior, their attitudes. Right? Those who are normal, reasonably wealthy people, okay. If you have two cloaks, share with somebody who has none. Same with if you have food. Detach yourself from your things. The tax collectors say, what must we do? And John gives them very practical. Stop collecting more than is prescribed. Right? Don't cheat and take bribes or graft. Soldiers come to him and say, what must we do? Don't do any shakedowns of the people. Don't accuse anybody falsely to get paid off. Be satisfied with your wages. In each case, John is outlining a change of life. Break with what is accepted. Everything everybody's gotten used to isn't right. Just because everybody else is doing it, yeah, all the tax collectors are on the take. All the soldiers are shaking people down for protection money. That's wrong. Don't do it. Because otherwise you can't prepare the way of the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to be the chaff thrown into the unquenchable fire. So a change of life is the first thing. And every one of us has to hear that directed at us, okay? All right, I never shook anybody down for payments, and I'm not a tax collector, I'm not a soldier. Doesn't matter. What is it that you have to do to change? What is it in your life that still needs to be conformed to the Lord? Otherwise, you won't be ready for the coming of the day of the Lord. The change of heart, the conversion, is critical. We've only got 10 days to go before Christmas. And then the second thing that St. John the Baptist does is he focuses their attention on the who. Everybody's thinking, oh, would it be so nice if he were the Messiah? He's so radical. He's so charismatic. And he says, I'm not worthy to untie his sandal straps. He will come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fire, the image of the purification, purifying fire. And he will gather the wheat into his barn and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. He will come with might and power. And this is where I think we need to draw our peace and our serenity in the midst of anxiety and worry, is that the one who is coming, Jesus Christ, is the one who brings justice to the earth. He separates the evil from the good. He's the one with the power to do so. And that should give us peace. Just like Zephaniah was saying, he said, the Lord, the mighty Lord is coming, the King of Israel. He'll be in your midst, and you shall have no further misfortune to fear. The Lord your God is in your midst as a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you, as one sings at festivals. See, it's this Lord that who brings power and majesty. That's what gives us peace. Because he can overcome everything in this world that's unjust, unfair, that makes us anxious and worried. So put our faith in the Lord to come, not just his messenger. Change our lives and be ready for him, because he'll bring that divine justice. And with that, we should rejoice.